If you have a Bible with you, do keep it open in Mark chapter 4. Or if you have a device, feel free to swipe it to Mark chapter 4. That's up to you. Let me pray before we dive into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you now that you would come through your Holy Spirit. Come and open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we may know, we may love your Son, Jesus Christ, all the more as we listen to your word. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm a great fan of Apple. Apple, not the fruit. I'm not a particular fan of fruit, but Apple, the iPhone makers, the creators of iPhones and iPads. And I'm told that they are worth $1.3 trillion. And at one point, I think Apple had more money than the United States itself, which is crazy to think. And Apple was founded in April 1976, and it's just over 44 years old, and they are $1.3 trillion worth. There's one Apple store in Cardiff. Again, it's just a big, big company all over the world. In our passage today, we have something bigger, far more important than the brand Apple. Jesus talks about the growth of God's kingdom. How his kingdom started small, but is an ever-growing kingdom. If you look back in chapter 3 in the previous chapters, or even in chapter 4, we read about the parable of the sower, the importance of listening and responding to God's word. And Jesus talks about four different kind of soils, which represent the human heart. The focus was very much on how we respond to God's word. Do we receive it? Do we reject it? And this evening, I want to really, in our time together, highlight three things from our passage together. The reaction of the kingdom, the grower of the kingdom, and the rising of the kingdom. So the first one, the reaction to the kingdom. Different people react differently to different things. You know, for example, when the UK voted to leave the EU, some people were happy, some people were not very happy, and still some people were indifferent. They couldn't care less. Or you go to a football match or a rugby match, you know, you enjoy the match, you cheer your team and they win, you know, it doesn't affect you. But there are some things in life that needs or that demands reaction. For example, for my own personal life, when we had our firstborn son, Zach, our lives were radically changed because we have a newborn and, you know, we have to feed him, change him, clean him. So Jesus makes the same point here. His message, Jesus's word, his message needs our reaction. It provokes our reaction. It demands our reaction. If you have your Bible, flip down with me there in 24 and 25, verse 24 and 25. He says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more, be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So the emphasis is very much on hearing and listening. Pay attention, Jesus says. Pay attention to what you hear. The measuring here is hearing. If your hearing is good, Jesus says, rich and receptive to God's word, you will receive even more. Indeed, to the one who has, more will be given. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will learn more. Respond to God's truth and more truth will follow. I guess it would be a bit like, you know, if you buy shares and invest some money in a property, you know, you'll get interest back depending on how the property is going. Do you see what I mean? So, but in a radical contrast, for the one who rejects the word, i.e. Jesus's words, even what he has will be taken away. You refuse and reject Jesus's word, you lose the little you have. This is, I think, is a strong warning. Our spiritual health, our eternity is at stake. How we respond to Jesus today will affect not just our today, not just our tomorrow, but our eternity. Again, Jesus here, as usual, uses everyday things to make his point. In those days, obviously, they didn't have electricity or bulbs. So for that lamb, when they have lamb, They don't put it under a basket, like Jesus says, or a bed. I mean, that would be a ridiculous idea. No, Jesus says, you put the lamb high in a place where everyone can see. God has sent this lamb, his son Jesus Christ, to bring light to a dark world. He has come to reveal the truth. He has come to open our hearts and our minds. He has come to conquer the darkness. William Carey, I'm sure you know of William Carey, the father of, sometimes they call him the modern missionary movement, labored in India, actually. It's not that far from where I grew up, Kolkata. He labored for many, many years, for 7 years before seeing his first convert. He shared the gospel for more than 30 years. But still he could say it was a hard work. But still he could say the future is as bright as the promise of God, and expect great things from God and attend great things for God. You might remember a few years ago, we celebrated the 500th year or anniversary of the Reformation, the Protestant Church. You know, the Reformation started in Germany. Martin Luther and other guys, after studying the Bible for themselves, decided to stand up against the church, which was moving away from God's word. So what did Martin Luther do? His whole idea was to share God's word so that people will come to know Jesus Christ. It demands a response. Secondly, the other thing I wanted to draw in was the grower of the kingdom. So we have seen the reaction of the kingdom, that God's word demands, it provokes our reaction. It demands a reaction from us. How should we, are we to reject his word, or will we receive his word? And the second thing I want to highlight is the grower of the kingdom. Let me read verses 26 to 28 again. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. 28, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Again, the emphasis here is very much on the power of the seed. The word of God has within its own success and triumph. That the word of God, if you preach God's word, God's word will do its work. The first thing we see here is that the farmer plants or sows a seed on the ground, and the seed grows. And as Jesus says here, this is what Jesus has come to do. He came to sow the seeds. He came to inaugurate his God's kingdom and invites us in. This is what William Carey did. This is what Martin Luther did. This is what every pastor or minister of the word in a church context does. It's what all Christians are to do. We are to share God's word with those around us, with those God has placed around us. We are all to sow and plant the seed of the gospel. But the question is this: who gives the growth? God. It says there in verse 27, he sleeps, the farmer, this is, he sleeps and rises night and day, the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. Because it's God who gives the growth. In 1 Corinthians, we are told about the church in Corinth that they were having an argument, you know, who they follow. Some were saying, I follow Peter. Some were saying, I follow Apollos. Some were saying, I follow Paul, who planted this Corinthian church. Paul then says to them, to the church in Corinth, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Paul goes on to say, it doesn't matter who planted. It doesn't matter who waters. What the focus is always on the one who gives the growth. When God's word is faithfully proclaimed, it will not come back empty. And it is amazing to see how the church grew, even in the first century. You might remember in Acts 8, it wasn't through some clever church planting strategy or programs. It grew out of persecution. The Christians in Jerusalem were being persecuted, and they scattered. And those who scattered shared the word of God with those around them. And they saw the church grew throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, and on and on. God's way of growing his church is completely different and mysterious to us. because he's the one who gives the growth. He uses us, but he gives us the growth. We have a responsibility to preach and to share our talents, our gifts, our resources to facilitate this in whatever ways we can to share the gospel. But we cannot change people's heart. We can share, but we can't change people's heart. We cannot offer eternal life. We cannot offer salvation or forgiveness. Only Jesus Christ can. Only he can change people's heart. Only he can give us the growth. Only he can forgive. Jesus made great claims. He claimed that he alone can forgive sins, and that he's God's son, and that he claims that his kingdom is going to get larger, bigger and bigger and bigger. And this brings us to the final thing that I want to highlight, the rising of the kingdom. Jesus, King Jesus, is a different king. He chose to be born in a manger with those dirty animals. He was born to a very ordinary couple, Joseph and Mary. He came riding on a donkey, died a brutal death. His disciples, I'm sure, at some point when they were following him, felt insignificant, uneducated fishermen compared to the power of Rome and all this legion of soldiers. And here is Jesus claiming that his kingdom is only going to get bigger. Look down at me there again in verse 30. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on this earth. Yet when it is grown, it grows and becomes larger than all the garden plants, puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The mustard seed is one of the tiniest seeds you can find, yet it grows big. And even the birds, Jesus says, can make nests in shade. Jesus here is using, obviously, an analogy. He's comparing the rising of his kingdom with this tiny little mustard seed. This tiny little insignificant mustard seed, Jesus says, will grow and become bigger and bigger and taller and taller. What began as the smallest becomes the greatest. I mean, what an encouraging word for those who would think that they labor in vain, who endure rejection and persecution. What an encouragement it would have been to know that they are on the winning side with Jesus Christ. I think it was in the BBC News that there was some prediction that in the news that by 2070, Islam will be the largest religion, not just in the UK, but worldwide. And on top of that, we hear about churches declining. More and more people are declaring themselves to be without religion. Should this freak us out? I'd say no, because we know what the future is. Revelation, we are told in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, it says this. This is John the Apostle being given this vision. After this, I look and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." God's kingdom is not going to get smaller. God's kingdom cannot be defeated. God's kingdom will grow because it is God who gives the growth. Like John says here in Revelation, it is going to be a great multitude that no one could number, people from different tribes and nations coming together under the name of Jesus Christ. And we are seeing this, aren't we, in some ways, I think the recent statistics have shown that there are more Christians in South America, Africa, Asia, even Middle East to some extent. God's kingdom is not going to get smaller. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because God, Jesus himself says that his kingdom is going to go big. So what is our role? Our role is to sow God's word, to proclaim, to share. Like someone said rightly, you know, we are a beggar telling another beggar where to find food. We help people. We share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a small example from our own church and from our own family, we've been running a little evangelistic course called 3-2-1, a little bit like Christianity Explored, but just three sessions. And I think during this time, people have been very receptive because of what is going on with the current situation, coronavirus. So three of our non-Christian friends who would normally no desire to attend church in normal life, said, yeah, we'll do the 3-2-1 course with you. So that's encouraging. And we were able to share God's word. We were able to sow God's word. And we keep praying for them that God in his timing will draw them to himself. So we keep sharing, we keep proclaiming, we keep sowing God's word, and that God will change their heart. It is because it is him who gives us the growth. So Jesus says, John says, a great multitude that no one can number. No one can number. We will see a great harvest. Maybe we might not see it here on earth, but we will see it as we read in Revelation 7, a great multitude. So we've seen the reaction to the kingdom that God's word demands, provokes our reaction. How should we respond to God's word? Will we listen to Jesus or not? Will we receive Jesus or reject Jesus, the grower of the kingdom? Again, a great reminder, at the end of the day, we can sow, but it is God who gives us the growth and the rising of the kingdom. It's God, that God's kingdom will grow. It will keep growing, as we see right at the end of the Bible in Revelation 7, a great multitude that no one could number.